I apologize. A couple weeks ago, I was sick, and that's why I wasn't here. So I'm going to go over a lesson I had prepared, and hopefully you guys still get something out of it. But let's start out in Matthew chapter 2, 1 and 2. Sandro, can you read that? Herod. Huh? Herod. Herod. Herod the king. All right.
The king behold wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship.
All right. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, earlier in the month, we talked about the wise men. Today we'll be talking about more about King Herod. Now, other historians, and I'm talking non-Christian historians, you know, they kind of support the Bible. We could go, oh, well, we know the Bible is true because we see evidence in throughout what they've dug up. But other historians support time and placements, and they support, you know, talking about King Herod, because we know he was real in when he reigned. Now, this helps us place the date of Jesus' birth. Herod lived between 72 BC and 4 BC. Now, I don't know if they still teach this in school. It's been a long time, but BC, does anybody know what BC stands for?
Before Christ.
Right? That's what BC stands for. And it counts down to one. Interesting thing is, back then when they came up with this system, they didn't have zero. So it doesn't go down to zero, it just goes down to BC1. And then on the other side is AD1. Right? So AD is Annos Domini, which means the year of the Lord. You know, for a long time when I was little, it was like when I first heard it, I thought it was after death, but it's not. And I think that's a miss. Everybody thinks that it's just like, oh, it clicks, but it's actually the year of the Lord. So since Jesus was born till now. BC, the larger the number, the further back in time we go. So a lot of people get confused on that, but it's a plate. They came up this to figure out where history, our big events in history, happened. Today's scholars, they feel like the monk that calculated this was off about 4 years. You know, whether it be he didn't carry the one when he was adding, you know, they said that he tried to devise all this, but there's leap years. There's the Jewish calendar, which has actually more days than our calendar in it. So, but they figured that he was about 4 years off. However, we still use this timeline. For thousands, over 1,000 years, we've used this timeline. Now they want to go BCE. In CE is before Common Era, in Common Era. Because why is because the old way, the BC and the AD, is all centered around Christ. It's all rooted in Christianity. And people are slowly trying to take God out of everything. You know, looking through Christian glasses, it's sad to see how blind people really are. Now we're back to King Herod. Sorry, that's a little bunny trail. Now Herod was a family man, right? People said that it would be better to be Herod's pig than his sons. Herod killed at least 3 of his sons. He killed at least one wife and a few uncles. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. When people gain power, the temptation there is to only look after your own interests, not the interests of others. You know, and a lot of times with power comes a fear of losing that power. Now, this wasn't uncommon, and Herod's actions are not uncommon for the time period, because many kings killed their family members because the fear of them plotting against them. And many sons have become king because they did plot against their dad and kill them. Caesar Nero became Caesar because his mom killed his dad. And then he got nervous and he killed his mom of the fear of trying to do the same thing. So he had his mom killed, and this was all at the old age of 16, right? So, nice teenager, had plans. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Angel, can you read that? So it can be hard for a rich man or a man of power, kind of the same thing, because people who are rich feel like they have power, for those kinds of people to come to God. Because they lost their focus on God and their possessions become their gods. You know, they feel like they don't need God, or they feel like their power will save them. You know, the fear of losing whatever they have, you know, that consumes them. King Herod was that kind of guy. King Herod became king, in a sense, because they took over Jerusalem, they conquered them, and what they would do is they would set up somebody who would work with them. They set somebody up in power, and they wanted to try to keep it somewhat local so that the people felt better, but they would set up somebody who would work with them. Now, the people of Judea, they would have viewed Herod as basically a traitor. They can't say it because he's in power, because he's a traitor because he's collecting taxes for Rome, the people that conquered him, and they're not happy because they're conquered. You know, it's the same thing today. You wouldn't be happy if somebody came and conquered us, but we'd have to pay them taxes. And he's basically allowing this, and he's in charge. So he has power, and he doesn't want to lose it. Matthew chapter 2, 3 through 6. And I don't know, Jay, if you want to read or if you don't, if you want to be a part of this or not. So it goes through the prophecy, and then that they knew, they absolutely knew that the Messiah was going to be born and where he was going to be born. It was written years and years ago. You know, the wise men, you know, they said they wanted to worship the king of the Jews. And they told this to Herod, and Herod feeling like, well, I'm the king of the Jews. That's my job. Yes, he would have been troubled. Knowing the type of guy he is, he's afraid about losing his job. And they're like, oh, no, we want to see the real king. So they knew in, you know, the people were in charge. They didn't want to lose their power. It didn't matter if things would be for the better. They didn't want change. You know, they wanted to keep the things the way they were. Matthew 2, 7 through 8. So this brings up whether the wise men were representative of kings or were they the kings themselves. Because if anyone in that time of history would come up to a king and say, oh, I want to worship the real king, they'd probably be looking at death sentence, right? Because he probably wouldn't be too happy about that. But Herod tried to play it off more cunning, you know, less torture, less, oh, well, I'm going to torture you until you die, or you don't tell me the truth. So he was trying to be cunning about it. Psalms 72:11. Yes, all the kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. So this is written a long time ago, right, before we're at this point. And it comes true. All these prophecies that happen, it'd be a crazy chance that one guy would be fulfilling all these prophecies. Now, whether the wise men, there are three wise men, are three wise kings, we're still not sure, but either way, whether they're representing our kings, that means the same thing, that kings of other nations worship Jesus. So making this prophecy true. I think Herod knew that Jesus, or the Messiah, was born. You know, we could see that he knew he was actually born, that this was true, and it was the Messiah. He knew all this, and he knew it was for the better, yet he wasn't happy. And he had no clue on how to find him. He couldn't find him because he wasn't wise, right? So he tries to trick the wise into finding Jesus for him. Matthew 2, 9 and 10. Angel?
When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star,
all right, so does those verses, does that tell us anything? Can we get something from that? About the star, maybe?
The star was their guide.
Their star was their guide, but it tells me is that guide wasn't always there. You know, because they came out, they didn't see it before. Tells me the star they saw at the beginning of the journey, it disappeared, right? So this long trip that they're on, their Google Maps lost signal, right? They don't have signal anymore. They can't trust it. So they stop in and ask. They do something every guy won't do is ask for directions, right? They stop to the local guy in charge. He should know what's going on for directions, but he was no help. Now, some people would get discouraged. Some people would be like, well, at least I know the way home. I'll just turn around. But not these guys. They stayed on course, and they kept their faith. You know, and they were rewarded. You know, the star reappears and guides them exactly where they need to be. Matthew 7 through 8. Sandro? Sorry, I went out of order. Worldly things, you know, like money. If I ask for money, it'll just happen. But whoever seeks for God, he will be there. Whoever's looking for God, he will open that door. He's there for us, no matter what, no matter time of day, he will be there. Matthew 2:11-12. Seems like I'm picking on you, Jay. But there you go.
And when they had come into the house, and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return,
so the first thing what I notice is that it says that young child, right? It didn't say a baby laying in hay in a manger. It says young child. It doesn't say baby. Jesus was a child when the wise men found him. You know, they gave him three gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, gold was fit for a king because Jesus was king. Frankincense is typically like incense or something presented at an altar. Because Jesus was deity, he is God. That's why frankincense. Now, myrrh was typically used to embalm people. Right? To embalm people, to get people prepared, or their bodies prepared to be buried. Because Jesus was destined to die for our sins, for the sins of the world. Everything fits together. Before the wise men leave, God tells them, and it usually happens in there, it tells them in a dream, back in the, you know, they have this feeling, do not tell Herod. He seems like a nice guy, but he's not. Don't go back there. And why? We'll get to that in a second. But let's go on to Matthew 2:13-15. Michelle?
Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod,
so it's kind of amazing how God works. You know, the gifts the wise men brought enabled the family to escape to Egypt. You know, they could pay for that. You know, journey back then, it was expensive. You know, maybe not as expensive as gas. There's price differences and everything, but it was expensive. So they used that those gifts in Egypt until Herod passed away. In this, again, fulfilling another prophecy. So it had to happen because it was said to happen and everything started out. God will provide a way. God always provides a way. Matthew 2:16-8. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he went forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem in all of this, all of its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great moaning, Rachel's weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they were no more. So another prophecy, this one a lot sadder. Herod wasn't happy. Totally, he was troubled. So what he did was he took the time the wise men told him when they saw the star, right? When they first saw the star, and then he also knew exactly where the Messiah was supposed to be born. And so he kills every male child in Bethlehem, what was 2 years and under. So what this tells me is that the journey, we could calculate, right? It had to be probably around 2 years. You know, it could be a little bit less, but Herod, you don't know if Herod oversimplifies, like, well, I'm just don't kill everybody from 2 years. He can't be older than 2 years. For some reason, he calculated that. So we get that information. So this journey the wise men started, this long, long journey, could have taken around 2 years to complete. Also means, how old would Jesus be when they found him? Around 2 years. I mean, he could have been 2 years old, but it could have been one. Like I said, we don't know how mean this guy was. Actually, just to go how far. So he could have been around 2 years old when he received the gifts. Now, in his, like I said, historians typically back up the Bible. They don't have any record of the massacre of the innocents in anywhere else in history books. Yet there could be a lot of reasons for this. You know, like I said, Herod wasn't the nicest guy. And if we listed everybody he killed, we'd be talking about a phone book. Right? There'd be a lot of people. And the other thing is, and this don't sound bad, because any killing of kids is horrible. It's unspeakable, really. Now, that village in Bethlehem at that time would probably be, they estimated, about 5,000 people. And then you take the percentages, and we are probably talking about 12, a dozen kids what would be fell into that time bracket of boys born and are under two. So chances are we're talking about 12 boys. With the rate of people died back then, you know, historians might just like not really pay it attention. It might just be another day. Our Herod made sure it never got written down. The Bible doesn't lie. This I know. Right, so I'm going to trust. I trust that the Bible, it happened exactly like it is. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. I just read. Sandros, can you?
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for
reproof. There are big words. But it means is that we could trust the Bible. We could count on the Bible. We could use that to correct other things. You know, God inspired these men what wrote down every word. These words can be trusted. Now, the wise men, they were not at the birth of Jesus. You know, despite the manger scenes and everything where they're right there along with them, with their camels, they're not there. However, they're 100% part of the story. You know, showing us that if we are wise, we should seek the one true God. You know, the journey can be long. It can be hard. There could be things in our way, obstacles, complications. But we need to remain strong. We need to avoid traps such as pride and greed. This is what Herod would have. King Herod would definitely be very prideful, very greedy. Only looking out for worldly rewards. We need to avoid that. Now, there are 100% traditions not in the Bible. You know, there's a ton of traditions out in the world. And 90% of them, we probably shouldn't be doing. Now, the rest of them, we can choose to see God in them, or we could choose not to see God in them. You know, we could go by a manger scene, be fine with it because the wise men were part of the story and they were worshiping God, or we could just look at it and see errors. Growing up, every Christmas, there was Christmas movies, right? Now, my Christmas movies, because I'm old, were a lot different than your Christmas movies. Huh?
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. That was about the only live-action Christmas movie back in my day, sorry. You know, there wasn't Home Alone, there wasn't Elf, there wasn't The Christmas Story. We had The Grinch, but it was a cartoon. But there was claymation movies, and I think they still have them, but they get like shoveled back behind, but there's claymations. And there was a claymation movie, and I haven't seen it for years, but The Little Drummer Boy. I was bored with it. I wanted Rudolph. He's this cool reindeer with flies. I wanted Frosty, Talking Snowman, another really cool one. There was tons, but I was bored with The Little Drummer Boy. But that's before I knew of the message in that song. Before I actually knew what it meant. And I'm not a singer, so I need you guys' help. Because we're going to go through this. I'm going to stop and talk about each different verse or now, but all right, here it goes. Beside the ridicule and the shame. Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, a newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. So we should be seeking Jesus, right? That's what it's telling us. We should be seeking Jesus. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, to lay before the king, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. You know, we should be worshiping him and him only. We should be giving him everything, our finest gifts. So to honor him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, when we come. Baby Jesus, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, I'm a poor boy too, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Jesus knows exactly what we're going through. He's been there. He knows what it feels like. He understands all of our situations, all of our struggles. We're just like him. He's related. He can relate to us. I have no gift to bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. That's fit to give a king, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. We don't deserve his grace. We have nothing to offer him, right? We don't. We're not worthy. Shall I play for you, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, on my drum? Mary nodded, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. The ox and lamb came, kept time, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I play my drum for him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I play my best for him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rup-a-pum-pum, rup-a-pum-pum. All Jesus wants is for us to come to him, to give him our best, to be willing to work on what we need to work on. He just wants us to love him as much as he loves us. Then he smiled at me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, me and my drum. Jesus loves us before he ever knew us. He loves everything about us. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past. He will always love us. Like I said, when I was a kid, I know that movie in Jesus is actually in that movie. He's a baby at the end. But I didn't see Jesus in that movie. Now I cannot help but see Jesus in that movie, in that song. This new year, my wish, my prayer is to have you guys focus on Jesus. To keep Jesus in whatever you do. Actually, Angel, can you close this in prayer?